in Glendale, sometimes in meetings that continued for days. He seemed to love his time there, finding in the Imagineers kindred creative spirits. The Imagineers eagerly seized on this burgeoning interest, recognizing it as a way to stave off cost cuts and staff reductions. Eisner obsessed about design details, even the ashtrays in the hotel rooms. He wanted working fireplaces in the hotels and real logs in the rustic Sequoia Lodge. As he described it, unlike producing movies, here we could be producer, director, editor, and even the actors in every foot of the film. Designing parks was more exciting than anything one could do in the proscenium world, where two dimensions was the rule. Eisner rented an apartment in Paris during the summer of 1988, moved there with Jane, and took French lessons. All this personal attention from the company chairman was not to every architect's liking, although Rossi ended up rejecting the assignment.
"I am not personally offended, and can ignore all the negative points that have been made about our project at the last meeting in Paris," he wrote in a letter to Eisner. "The Cavalier Bernini, invited to Paris for the Louvre project, was tormented by a multitude of functionaries who continued to demand that changes be made to the project to make it more functional. It is clear that I am not the Cavalier Bernini, but it is also clear that you are not the King of France. Aside from the differences, I do not intend to be the object of minuscule criticisms that any interior designer could handle. It is my belief that our project, notwithstanding the specialists, is beautiful in its own right, and as such will become famous and built in some other place."
Emblematic of Eisner's approach was the Disneyland Hotel, a turreted pink wedding cake of a hotel that bore no resemblance to anything designed by the prominent architects. It was solely the creation of the Imagineers, with substantial input from Eisner himself. The fanciful structure had originally been conceived as a grandiose ticket booth at the main entrance, but Eisner insisted that such coveted real estate be used for rooms. The hotel straddles the park's main entrance, just as Eisner had wanted the unbuilt Mickey Mouse Hotel to straddle Disneyland's Riverside Drive. The plan for the hotel triggered fierce debate. Venturi warned that it would obscure sight lines toward Sleeping Beauty's castle from the park entrance. Wells feared that park visitors would look up and see hotel guests in their underwear. Others complained about the high cost of the design and the need for another hotel. When a vote was taken of the working group planning the park, it was 19-2 against building the hotel. Eisner's vote was one of the two, Wilson's the other. And so it went forward. As plans for Euro Disney picked up steam, the Basel animation project was nearing completion. It had been renamed the Great Mouse Detective because Eisner thought the name Basel was too English. Despite a constant effort to control costs, it was not meeting its $10 million budget. Eisner had trouble understanding why a half hour of television animation could be produced for $500,000, but a 90-minute Disney feature couldn't be made for 20 times that. To the Disney animators, this attitude showed a lack of understanding that bordered on contempt. Disney animation featured seamless motion, not the crude, jerky movements of Saturday morning television. Shapes were delicately outlined and richly shaded. They were not cartoons. Backgrounds were carefully rendered to suggest three-dimensional depth and perspective. The thousands of cells were